I'd like to continue. Some 2 weeks ago, we talked about before the kingdom. We were touching on the subject matter. In fact, let me go ahead and just refresh your memory quickly, because we were talking about the coming kingdom of God. Well, today we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. I promised I was going to come with part two. So we talked about what happened from Adam and Eve all the way back to our time and the establishment of the coming kingdom of God in the very near future. And we did an overview of that. And now we're saying we want to know what the kingdom of God is going to be like. If we're spending all this energy, all this effort, all this time to try to share with other people the good news of the kingdom of God, to share with others what we believe, what we profess, we need to drill down and get insights and concepts and ideas as to what God is planning, what it is we're giving our life for, we're sacrificing for. Very, very important. I'm going to just paraphrase it, but you can go to Isaiah chapter 2, starting with verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Mountain there means kingdom. The Lord's house is going to be established in the top of the kingdoms. House means where you come from. For example, you hear the house of Windsor, the house of Lords. It means the rulership and the source of whatever is authoritative. And so the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be established in the top of the mountains. In other words, when you study it carefully, he's going to take over all the countries. This world, yes, he's going to take them over. And he's going to make them his kingdom. You know, you have governments. Part of what you see happening in these worldly kingdoms, they're trying to fight each other to take over their land. Well, Jesus is going to come back and take over everything. Why? Because mankind doesn't know how to rule with proper judgment and equity among each other. So God is going to take it over. That's the good news. It's not going to be left just to us and individuals who profess and have some idea and so on. No, it's going to be taken over by God. And we are being trained now. Yes, that's what you're doing when you come to services. You're being trained. When you're studying the Bible, you're being trained. When you learn more about God, you're being trained. Into what? Into learning to live God's way so that you can actually teach that to others in the future. That's our destiny. And so I want to cover that today so we understand. This is what it is all about. In the book of Mark, the first chapter, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in verse 14, he says, and he came into Galilee preaching the gospel, or the good news, gospel I mean good news, of the coming kingdom of God. Saying the time is at hand, repent and believe the good news. That is what we and I are sharing. There's good news coming. I know there are wars and rumors of war now. But after that passes, then good news is going to manifest. And God is going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. And we are going to reign and rule with him. So that's what he's talking about in Isaiah chapter 2, the coming kingdom of God. I know some people with some Roman ideas run off and believe, you know, well, they're going to be in heaven. Well, that's what Satan thought he was going to do. He's going to take over heaven. No, that's not what God says. He made the earth for the sons of men. And we are going to have the kingdom of God on earth. Now, some people, when they come up in the resurrection, they're going to really believe they're in heaven because of the way the place looked good. But the bottom line is, that is the kingdom of God. And we need to make sure we not only act like we understand this, but we share this when we get an opportunity. Because most people, even though they profess to be Christians, they have a wrong idea for the kingdom of God. If all the people in the churches really believe God the Bible way, the world wouldn't be like it is. Because they really would be salt and light in the areas where they live, but they're not salt and light because they're ignorant of the word of God. They don't know God for the most part. And as a result, they can't display his character. They can't share. I am saying to you that God is coming to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Now, let's just fast forward into a time in the very near future where the beginning stage is going to be set up. In the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, starting with verse 1, the writer, his name was John, and he saw some things. Sir, can you just draw the curtain just a little that way? The top of the curtain. Just a little. Yes, this way. No, to your left. Yes, some more. A little more. Yes. That's good. That way the sunlight doesn't affect him. Okay. So here it is now. It says in Revelation, the 20th chapter and verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is a nickname for the what we call hell or Hades. And so he comes with this key. And he can lock people there in, prevent others from going in, and prevent them from coming out. Just like the same way a jailer or a police officer can arrest somebody, lock them in the jail, and they can't come out unless he says so. All right? So he come with this key, and he had a chain. And he's going to grab Satan, the devil, put a chain on him, you know, nowadays we wouldn't say chain, you'd say handcuff. And he handcuffed Satan, the devil. And verse 2 says, he laid hold on him, that's the same one called the dragon and the serpent, which was the devil and Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years. He's going to bind him up and put him in jail, and he can't get out for 1,000 years. Now why is he going to do that? Because when he's bound up, he won't be able to tell lies to the people on earth. His demons won't have any authority to tell lies. They won't be able to run over the earth and do what they're doing now and mislead leaders and so on. The governments of men are, you wonder why they're wishy-washy and they can't make the quality decision. That's because they are operating under the leadership of Satan, the devil. Yes, the governments of men, all of them, are operating under the leadership, the spiritual leadership of Satan the devil. They may not want to believe that. They do not understand that, but that's how it is. And one of the things he does, you know, he's so tricky, he even tell people he don't exist. So therefore, it's a waste of time to believe that he's causing any trouble because he don't really exist. That's part of what he fooled them. But anyway, he comes back to the scriptures here again and says, he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. And verse 3 says, he cast him into the prison, or the prison really, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years are finished. Now why is he going to be let out after that? God is giving everybody an opportunity to make right decisions, and they have to make a choice. They have to choose whether they're going to follow him or the devil. Well, some people don't grasp this, and so God is going to turn the devil loose again for a little while. So those people who live on earth during this time who never get a chance to be tempted by the devil the same way you and I are, because we're tested, aren't we? We're tempted. And we make a choice. What do we choose? We choose to follow Jesus. What does the song say? I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, we choose to do right. Well, those people now who live in the millennium, in the kingdom of God, they're going to have to make a choice also. And that's why the devil is going to be turned loose for a little season. That the people will be given an opportunity to be tested after 1,000 years of good, this kind of teaching. Man, you should be good at what you're doing and understand what God is saying, and you shouldn't fall for the tricks of the devil. A few people will. Unfortunately, the Bible says a few will, but the vast majority will not. But that's why he's going to be turned for a little season. And he says something else he saw in verse 4. I saw thrones. Well, what is a throne for? It's where the king sits. He sits on a throne. And I saw thrones. That's more than one. So we're going to be what? Kings? We're going to be the ones sitting on those thrones. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. They who? Well, we'll see in a minute. And judgment was given unto them. In other words, God passed official judgment and say, hey, that throne belongs to you. You can sit on it. You got a crown. You're a king. What king is supposed to rule? Rule. They rule over subjects. They rule over territory. All right? And so I saw the souls of them. He says something else. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus because they believe in God. They lose their head. So he saw these people. And for the word of God, there's nothing new. All across the northern middle part of Africa, people are being killed every day because, are you a Christian? They just ask him that. Shoot him in an AK-47, just like that. It's been going on. In fact, we used to collect, years ago, we used to collect material, blankets and stuff like that, and we send it to a group that flew planes over there to drop these things to these folks. They call it Life Pack. It had a pot in there, a bowl, a cup, a spoon and a fork, and it had a blanket, because they had to live out in the desert. It gets cold at night. They need a blanket, and they had to be on the run, so we dropped food and stuff like that for them to survive. Who were trying to kill them? The Islamic people. They had to be on the run, and that's why we used to send those things. And there are people still being killed there. That's why you end up with what they call now South Sudan. President Bush, the baby Bush, the youngest Bush, he came and he sent, give them resources so they could fight back. And so they had a civil war. And that's why they set up the kingdom, the South Sudan. And so that's how they got started. But what I'm saying is that these people now were beheaded, it says in verse 4 of Revelation 20, for the words of God, which had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
These are saints.
These are the saints.
On the throne.
Yes. This is spiritual realm now. We're going to become spirit beings. So he fast forward and he say he saw thrones. He's looking into the time ahead.
The thrones
like we sit on a chair, you know, the throne, that means you have authority.
That's the spiritual beings, right?
Yes, we're going to be spirit beings. When this happens, we are ready, been changed at the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And meet Jesus. And so this is going to happen shortly thereafter. You notice
this
it says.
Millennium.
This is the biggest BS, the millennium.
Well, these saints right here are in the millennium for 1,000 years.
Yes, that's us. Yes. So, all right, we're going to read it in just a minute. But what happened is this. This is going to happen. And so, remember now, in verse 1 it says, and. Because of the way the Bible was written in the early days, the word meanwhile was not used very often. As a matter of fact, I don't think they developed it at that time. But he's saying, and I see something else. And then he gives the whole chapter. Another way of saying is, meanwhile, this is what was happening. So you go back and look at chapter 18, then go back up chapter, almost all of the chapters in this book says and. Means that a lot of these things are happening simultaneously, okay? And so verse 4 says, they received this kingdom, this throne, we got authority, and we're going to reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Now notice verse 5. The rest of the dead, all right, remember now, the rest of the dead, what do you mean rest of the dead? Because some of these people that we were talking, we just mentioned to a while ago, they used to be dead. They're no longer dead. Remember, they resurrected. So the rest of the dead does not live again until after the 1,000 years. So when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive caught up to meet him, and we are going to be going to the marriage supper. We're going to get our assignment and so on. In the meanwhile, that's the beginning of the millennium. In the meanwhile, Satan is going to be bound by this angel. They all move simultaneously. And so we get ready to go to the marriage supper, and Satan come down and lock him up and put him in jail for 1,000 years. But the 1,000 years hadn't finished yet. We just at the beginning stages. So he says in verse 5, the rest of the dead, he's telling us now so we'll know. All the other people that we don't see, that we knew in life, and they were not there, well, we know they're not in the first resurrection. That's it.
So when he said this is the first resurrection, this time about the one, this time about chapter 4, verse 4.
Yes, all of it, all of that. Yes, this, all what we see now was the result of the first resurrection.
Because some people think that verse 5, these people, the first resurrection, the way it's written.
So well, the 5 is summarizing verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
It's a summary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it says the rest of the dead, they don't live again until 1,000 years.
Uh-huh.
All right? And just in case you didn't get it, he said, this is the first resurrection. That's what he's saying here. That is it. Verse 5 is a summary of everything that happened, verses 1 through 4.
And verse 4 is the first resurrection.
Yes, yes. He's making a statement now in verse 6. Listen to what he says. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Upon those people who took part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. What is the second death?
Chapter 5.
No. What is the second death?
The people who
The people who came back up who we don't see.
The second debt is for people who
rebel after the millennium.
People who don't make it to the kingdom of God at all.
Yeah, after the millennium and everything.
And they are going to have to come back to life, and they are going to die. All right, give them this. They're going to die, and they're going to come back to life, and they're going to be told, hey, listen, you're incorrigible. You don't want to do right. So God is going to do away with you. That's it.
But after Satan is released for a little while, will people in verse 5 be there?
Yes.
Okay, so these people that don't do right in verse 5, they're going to experience a second death. That's the second death.
Second death is later on for everybody who don't make it to the
kingdom. Who still don't do right.
Yes.
Live right.
Yes.
That's what you have to say.
So that's what he says. The second death, because they only die, they're going to die a second time, because they died the first time,
naturally.
A natural life.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, now they're going to be resurrected, given an opportunity. If they don't do right, they're going to go into the group, the second death.
Yeah.
Okay.
In other words, no power, like you said. The second death has no
So second death, now we who take part in the first resurrection, we know we don't have to worry about hellfire.
Yeah.
Because we already got eternal life up front. So it is making a statement. It says, upon those people who took part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power over them. The second death, it's not even a consideration. Let's make sure we say it again right, so everybody understands me. When Jesus comes back, those who are caught up to meet him, whether they were dead or alive, they're going to get eternal life. That is the first resurrection. They will never have to worry about dying ever again, because they just got eternal life.
And they're going to be in the millennium.
And so part of it is being in the millennium, because you know you have to be, you know, eternal life to be in the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And so what up now is that everybody now who after the millennium, after the judgments and stuff, everybody who has ever lived, who still won't repent, they are going to get the second death.
Because they're going to live through the millennium. They'll be alive physically.
If they are living during, if they were born during the millennium or alive when the millennium start, then they are going to live throughout their life, and then later on they're going to be tested by the devil and they're going to fail the test.
Yes.
All right? So the point is this: anybody at any point who still don't make it after all this, they are going to die forever. And that is the second death. All right? Now, let's back up and read something else again. These people who are in the first resurrection, something else he described about them. He says, the second death will have no power over them. But in addition to that, they shall be they shall be priests unto God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right? Now he talks some more about the different things that are going to happen after, but I just want to go ahead and just leave it right here, and we'll cover this at another time, because we're going into a big discussion about some stuff that is going to happen down the road, so I don't really want to go into it. What Gog and Magog and so on. That's a whole different story. We'll talk about that another time. But I just want us to understand what happened. No, the kingdom of God is there, and we are going to be in the first resurrection. Everyone who has his spirit is going to be in the first resurrection. All right? Now, what else do we need to know about the kingdom of God? Well, I have 5 more things I want to share. It says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. All right, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. It says something about
verse.
Let's see, 14. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. That the hurt is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Is that millennium?
Yes. The kingdom of God, when it is established, initially in the first stages, you get we who have knowledge, but what about the people who didn't get caught up to meet Jesus? They're alive. They're ignorant of about God as the man in the moon. Well, they're going to have to be taught. And remember now, they're going to say, we have heard about this kingdom headquarters in Jerusalem. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, up at the house of the God of Jacob, verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 2. And he will teach us of his ways. Because we find out that people go there. Man, they were sick when they left. And when they come back, they were healed. And they were happy, and they were telling us a good time they have, And these people are so nice and everybody's doing right. Why? Because the word of God is going forth. So he says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water of the glory of the filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Is the sea covered with water? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is full. Well, that's a description of how you're going to have the word of God all over the place. Is that the case now? No. Even people who profess to be Christians, you go to their churches and they're ignorant of most of what the Bible teaches. They have very little understanding about what the kingdom of God is. Well, knowledge about God is going to be all over the place. Oh no, you talk about YouTube now and people understand what you're talking about. But you talk about the kingdom of God and people are ignorant. So they're going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. That's how the earth is going to be. Well, what else we want to go to Isaiah chapter 11. And you see the same thing again is repeated in verse 9. It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Remember initially we were talking about the mountain of the Lord's house? Where was that again? That was the kingdom of God, right? That was the top nation. There was only one nation. And here it is now. He says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying here. For the earth is going to be filled. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. The reason why we have challenges and fights and things like that is because people are not full of God. They're not full of the knowledge of God. Most people don't really care about it. They hold grudges. They constantly fight over minimal things. They don't give generously. They don't really look out for each other and so on. And we could go on and on and on. They're hateful. And the word of God doesn't permeate their mind. The word of God doesn't permeate their mind. Well, I am saying to you that the hurt is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And so that's how it's going to be, okay? Now, the knowledge of God is going to go out. Now, you have knowledge of physics and chemistry and psychology and things like that. And politics, that's going out now. But knowledge of God? Oh no. For the most part, it's not going anywhere. Among us, yes. But most of the other people, because the things that people want, if they really knew God, if they really wanted to, the things that they want, they would have get it all if they would just learn the word of God. Because that's the beginning. But most people don't know that. And so as a result, they don't receive from God. In Zechariah chapter 8, I want us to look at something else that is taking place when the kingdom of God is set up on earth. The book of Zechariah is shedding more light about how things are going to be. Zechariah chapter 8. In fact, let's start in verse 6 of chapter 8. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, It is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days. Should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Let me see which verse did I just pick up. All right, I went too far. Let's go to verse. Let's see. Pick up verse three. Start in verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. That's what it's going to be called. It's going to be, the people are going to say, this is where God dwell. This is a nice place. And look at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet older men and older women dwell in the streets. You remember what they're doing up in New York? They beat them, just going up to hold the people and just knocking them out for no reason. Yes, you got punks running around that really need to be locked up. Just run up to hold people and just knock them out. Well, it's not going to be like that in the kingdom of God. They're going to realize that, hey, listen, there is a more excellent way. And they are going to, they are going to be able to walk around. The older people are going to be able to walk around freely. And so the Bible says that older men and women shall dwell in the streets of Jerusalem. And every man with his staff in his hand. Why is that? Why is this? When he says staff in his hand, that means he's old. Every man is going to be, whether they're old or not, they're going to be able to walk around freely. Don't worry about no gangsters and no, what do you call those things? People just go blow people up and so on.
Terrorists
and so on. They won't have to worry about that. Because you're going to have all these old people, they're going to be able to move around. And look at what else he says in verse 5. And the streets of the city are going to be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. They're going to be able to have fun without cars running over them, without people telling them to get off the road. They're just going to go ahead. I remember this gentleman, for those who are listening in Jamaica, Mr. David Daly. And he used to tell me, he said, when we were kids, we played ball until it was almost night. And we just leave the ball. Nobody even care about who carry it home. They just leave it there. And they come back the next day and play. That's how it was back in his days. People were free to be able to, you know, enjoy themselves and so on. Well, it's going to come again. All these things are going to happen. Nobody's going to kidnap them the way they kidnap all those kids from Ukraine and so on. Nothing like that. They agree they're kidnapping, what do you call this thing they call, you know, these human trafficking. You won't have anything like that. No slave trade and nothing like that. By the way, you still have slave trade going on in the Middle East and so on right now. In 1968, Richard Rombrand, the guys who start the whole Voice of the Martyrs, the reason he ended up coming over here, they sold him as a slave from Romania. He was in prison for 14 years because he was talking about Jesus. And they sold him. People bought him, carried him over to America and set him free. Richard Rombrand, he's no longer alive. But you know, that same man, before he died, God allowed him to buy the prison where he was incarcerated in Romania. When Romania collapsed, he went back over there and bought the prison. And where they had him in solitary confinement, he made that his office. He was much older then. I mean, he spent a lot of time in that place. But you get the idea. So what I am trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is that this is how the kingdom of God is going to be. You're going to have knowledge of God all over the place. You're going to have children playing. You're going to have grown-ups playing and so on. All right. What else do we need to know about the kingdom of God? All right. People are going to, we just talked about folks being old and be able to walk around. Look at Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65 describes something that you and I long for these days. You know, when you pray for people and they are in trouble, the final days, you know, they don't live that long. Well, it's not going to be like that when Jesus comes back. People are going to live a long time. And verse 22 says, they shall not build and another inhabit. My dad built our house. He lived there until he died. My mom stayed there till she died, then he died later. And then the children come, some of the kids are there living in it now. In the kingdom of God, when whoever builds their house, they're going to live in it. They're going to keep living because they, you know, folks are going to live for hundreds of years. And he says, they shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people. What does he mean by that? You know, there are trees in California that they have measured it and tested it, and they say, wait a minute, this tree is over 1,400 years old. 1,400 years old. That's a long time. I don't know anybody who is 150, let alone 200, certainly 300 or 400. Well, people are going to be living hundreds of years at that time. And so they're going to live as long as trees. That's what it is saying here. And they're going to enjoy the work of their hands. Something else that's going to happen when the kingdom of God is established on earth. Remember I said when people go to headquarters, Jerusalem, how they're going to end up coming back? Well, we'll look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. For those of you who go inside a church and you see good on front, and you have the little area where the minister usually ministers from there. They usually call that the altar. And out of it is going to come water that starts to bubble up out of it. Just run out, and it's going to run down the aisle, and it go outside in the street, and eventually it's going to become a river. Well, that river is going to run for miles. If you read Ezekiel 47, he talks about the same thing here. But what it is pointing out is that they're going to live for, the water is going to run. Now, it says on either side of the water, the riverbank or the water, are going to be trees that give certain fruits every month, a different fruit. You know, by the way, in Jamaica, some places you have a tree that we call ackee that grows this fruit on it, and it some places might grow two, but in the north coast of Jamaica, I notice it grows almost every month. So what happens is this: what happens is that the fruit is going to be given every month. And it says, he says, in verse 2, it says, and in the midst of the street of on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, or 12 kind of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. So every month they come with a different kind. And the leaves of the trees from this tree are going to be for what? The healing of the nations. So no matter how you try real hard, you're not going to be able to get sick. God is going to set it up so that you'll not only live long, but you're going to live a healthy life. That's what people are spending all this money, going to the doctor. What are they arguing about in America? Medicare and insurance. And doctors visit and hospital and stuff. We're not going to need all that. Why? Because people are going to be taken care of properly. They're going to eat right. They're going to have wisdom and knowledge, understanding about what to eat and when to eat and how to eat and how much to eat and so on. And they're going to be trained properly. So people are going to live long for hundreds of years. Go back and look at this book of Genesis chapter 11. And we just did a study the other day. We were seeing where these folks, Shem, these are the generations of Shem, and he talks about, you know, Shem lived 500 years after the flood. By the way, you know Shem, 10 generations before Abraham, he outlived Abraham. Abraham died before Shem. Shem was one of Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Well, Shem he lived 100 years before the flood. And then he lived 500 years after the flood. Well, guess what? People are going to live a long time. And what I am trying to say to you is that they're going to live a healthy life. And healing is going to be available. Now, we teach about healing now, and we pray for people to get healed and stuff like that. But my point is that we don't touch a fraction of what God is going to have available when the kingdom of God is on here on earth. And people, we won't need it because we're going to be spirit beings. We can't get sick. We won't die. But for the people who are on earth, they're going to live hundreds of years. Now, God cut it down so that people don't live that long, because like the troublemakers, you imagine out of Hitler, if he was still alive, how much trouble he would be given? Joseph Stalin? All those people who used to give a lot of trouble? No, he set it up so that they die. But when Jesus comes now, people are going to learn to live a long time, and they're going to do right. In the book of Amos, chapter 9, some other things. Because there's a lot more, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be available when the kingdom of God is established on the earth. A lot of things are going to be available. And before God came, Jesus came, God inspired men to write this, to tell people and give them an idea what is going to happen. Most people couldn't grasp this thing. That's one of the reasons why I'm teaching this today. Because we need to understand that we have all this to look forward to, and we're going to see all this thing. So we have relatives who died. They're going to come back to life. Doesn't matter how evil they were, they're going to come back to life. And they're going to be given an opportunity to learn these things. I know it sounds strange, and many people won't hear any of these things, they'll believe this and so on, but that's what the Bible teaches. I'm not making it up, it's right here in the book. And so in Amos chapter 9, it's talking about a time period when the kingdom of God is in operation. Well, what else do you know? There's going to be abundance of food. How many years we used to hear about there's going to be a famine in Africa, famine here, famine there, and so on? Well, there's going to be abundance of food. So much so we won't even know what to do with it. Now look at verse 12. Let's pick it up in verse 7. In that day, when I raise up at the tabernacle of David, he's talking about that day again, just like you'd say a period of time. You know, people say, back in the day, it talks about a period of time. Well, in that day, verse 11 of Amos 9, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I'll raise up his ruins, and I'll build it as in the days of old. In other words, he's going to raise up the people who were operating under him and the type of system that he had. Because David was very considerate. He didn't live that long, but he was very considerate. Well, look at verse 12, though. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, says the Lord, that doeth this. Everybody, in other words, it means they're going to get good things. That's basically what he's talking about here. And verse 13, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Now, nowadays, when you go out and you plow land, sometimes, you know, you used to have a high-end fork you can do with your hand. But most people don't do things like that anymore. They use a tractor. And you hire him, somebody, he might plow maybe 10, 15, 20 acres and so on. it's a machine, so you can, you know, operate all day and don't have to worry about it. Just put fuel in there and it goes. Well, we call him a tractor operator now, but in the Bible days, they call him a plowman. And so he says, in that day, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. What's the reaper? That's the person who come and try to get the harvest of what was planted the year before, the season before. Now, they were blessed with so much that it took them all forever to reap it, to pull it up, to get it. It took them almost forever. And so this guy is coming now. He's ready to plow again. The boss said, go plow the land. And he said, they have to say to him, say, hey, hold up. We still haven't finished reaping the harvest from last time. Wait a little. And he said, all right, okay. I'll wait. Because, you know, everybody's going to operate by the word of God. And he let the reaper finish getting the grain and whatever fruit and veg, whatever it is, from the previous harvest. It was so much that when they come into plant again, they haven't even finished reaping the last time. You talk about having a lot. And the treader of grapes, him that sow it. So the person who's there, you know, picking the grapes, he haven't even finished picking up all the grapes off the vine and stuff like that. And he's going to squeeze it to make wine and juice or whatever it is they're going to do. And freeze some to make raisins and so on. They haven't even finished gathering that. And they're getting ready to go plant more. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. In other words, everything's going to run so much, people are going to get excited. You know, in California, they have this place they call, Napa Valley. You probably heard of Napa wine. I think that's what they call it. Yeah, Napa Valley. But it's the valley that they plant a lot of grapes, and they harvest and they make a lot of different type of wine and so on. Well, they're going to be so much that it's going to take them a while to harvest all this, and they're coming to plant more again. And he says, I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build their waste cities. In other words, he's some of the people who were in captivity when Jesus comes back, he's going to set them free. That's what he's saying. He's going to bring them again from captivity. That's what that means right here, verse 14. And so they're going to rebuild and just set up themselves and so on. Just like what is going to happen to Ukraine eventually, not now in this life, because they're going to destroy the place. These people are destroyers. They don't understand building. So they're going to destroy as much as they can. That's what the Bible says they're going to do. And they are going to, they're not going to really build up Ukraine the way we expect it to, because they don't think like that. The people we have now in leadership, they don't understand this mindset. They don't have godly mindset. But things are going to be in ruins, and God is going to bring people back, and yes, they're going to build these places. That's what's going to happen. All right? Now, what else is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when God comes back and set up the kingdom of God on earth? Everybody, nowadays, you know, part of the problem, you just notice there's a rift going on between the United States and South Africa now, and they expelled the South African ambassador. Well, part of the problem that they're having is because of the distribution of the land in South Africa. See, that's where the issue is. And folks don't know how to judge righteously, and so there are conflicts now. But when Jesus comes back, everybody, every household is going to have access to land. They're going to have access so they can plant their own crops. I don't know, I like to plant tomatoes and some cabbage. I like lettuce, but I've never planted lettuce. You know, watermelon, I've planted a few and they taste good. They're very small, but they were sweet. But my point is that you plant what you want. You have land. Well, back in the Bible days, they like to plant what they call fig trees. And so, in Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 4, the book of Micah, the fourth chapter, it describes how things are going to be at that time. And he says in verse 2, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here, this is a paraphrase from what is in the same thing as in Isaiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. Well, it's saying the same thing here. People are going to learn about this and say, man, they teach us. When I was little, we used to plant what we call sweet potatoes. And, you know, the little plant that comes off the potato over here in America, well, we call that slips. We used to get potato slips. And we did, my dad's, well, actually, my brother, he sent me, said, go ask, I forget the gentleman's name, go ask him for some potato slips. And, I mean, he just went into his garden. He just started to just cut slips. I mean, he were hundreds. He just cut them and just give them to me, just like that. And I'd be carried back over there and replanted them. And by the way, 3 months later, we were eating sweet potato. But I'm saying that we had this thing. And so we planted. Well, listen to what he says now in when the kingdom of God is established. Because we're going to learn to be generous with each other. By the way, I did ask the people over in Kenya to go. I saw some people where they had cassava and sweet potato. And I said to them, go up to those people and ask them for some slips. And plant some for yourself. So that they could have food, you know. I remember telling them that. But anyway, it says in verse 3, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Why is that? Some nations don't know how to behave. For the average person, we talk about this now, it's nice and we believe, you know, live and let live, as we use the expression. But not everybody thinks like that. And you have some nations that are very contentious. If you look at the history of the world, there are some nations who are always fighting their neighbors for their land. No matter how much land they have, they're always fighting their neighbors for their land. Well, when Jesus comes back, they're going to try to do the same thing too, because even though Satan is not there anymore, because Satan, even though Satan is not there anymore to deceive them, they have developed a bad habit. There is a nation now that, if you go back and look, since 1939, they've been fighting their neighbors for their own land. They're not short of land, they have plenty. But they're just like, that's the way they are. Well, when Jesus comes back, they're going to still come back to the same habit. By the way, you know, you probably hear me talk about habits. Some people, they give trouble, and sometimes they'll go to court and they win. And I used to say, let's leave them alone. They're going to go right back to what they used to do. If they were a crook before, they're going to go right back and do it again. And sure enough, they go back and do it. Well, some nations are like that, and so God is going to have to rebuke them. He shall judge among many people, and he shall rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, because he's going to make sure, instead of building tanks, they're going to build tractors. Instead of trying to, you know, build swords, they're going to build pruning hooks. He's going to force them to do it. And if they don't do it, cut off their rain, cut off their food supply till they come to their senses. So he says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, but nobody's going to join no army. There ain't going to be no army, no Coast Guard, Navy, Marines, and so on. Not like that. They're going to learn to read their Bible and behave themselves. And they don't do right, we cut off their food supply. When they get so weak and frail, they will be glad to get some food and behave themselves. All right, He says, notice now, something else though, because we haven't got to the gist of it yet. Verse 4 says, but they shall sit every man under his vine. That's an expression. They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts shall speak it. Now, some of you may not like figs, but they're nice, but you can have apple tree or orange tree. Every man is going to have their own stuff. That's what he's saying here. Every man is going to sit under their own vine. It's an expression meaning you have your own plot of land. You live on it. You don't have to worry about no taxes. You don't worry about no rent. No, not like that. You own it. You won't have to worry about no hurricane because they're not going to have nothing like that. They're going to have nice weather. Now, for those who won't behave, then they won't get no rain. But for everybody else, normally you'll get your stuff and you're going to behave. And you won't have to worry about people breaking in. Angels going to be watching all over the place. And that's how these people who won't behave themselves, they're going to get caught. So they're going to be forced. And if you go back and look at Ezekiel chapter 38, I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm just telling you it's there. There's a certain nation that like to invade their neighbors. Guess what? They're going to come and try to invade these people. And God is going to rip the daylights out of them. Yes, he's going to really spank them very hard till they come to their senses. Oh yes, initially we start, because you're going to have some people who are going to want to do right. Some people are easily taught. They're teachable, but not everybody is. Some nations are like that. And those are the ones he says he's going to have to rebuke them and so on. But for those who are willing to just yield to God and follow, oh man, it's going to be a hunky. It's going to be good for them. And then the stubborn ones, eventually, because it's going to take really, believe it or not, it's going to take at least 40 years for these stubborn people to come to their senses and realize that they need to give up. I'll go over that one day, but that's what it says. It's going to take 40 years for them to realize that they need to behave themselves. Don't push your luck with Jesus, because he's going to whip you real hard. And eventually they're going to get an opportunity and behave themselves. But my point here is that every man is going to be under his own vine. Now, there's a lot more that we can say about the kingdom of God. There's a lot more we can talk about it, but I wanted to just give you these basic things to let you know this is what we're talking about. So when you see all this fighting going on over land and trade wars and shortages and climate change and all that stuff, you know, all this is going to come to an end because these people are not seeking God. They're not trying to do things God's way. The Bible said the way to peace they do not know. Even though they say they want peace and they want it right away, they're not willing to live the way God says they should live so they can have it. And as a result, we have the wars we have now. And some of the things are going to really collapse, that unless he cut the days short, everybody would have been erased from the planet. Because some people are so contentious and cantankerous. But God is going to set up the kingdom of God, and the word of the Lord is going to go forth, starting from Jerusalem until the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And many people are going to learn about God and learn to do things God's way. And we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have a tremendous harvest of souls for Jesus. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That's the kingdom of God.